Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and our second week in the series of Great People in the Old Testament. My dad, Pastor Salem, preached the Bible, the Word of God, to glorify God, to bring the lost to Jesus, and to comfort people. He would say with these broadcasts, "We are gathering at the feet of Jesus wherever we are, one body in Christ drawn together." A viewer from Canada recently wrote, "Thank you so much for being my church, as I am not able to get out on my own. I look forward every Sunday service and receive so much from each one. It is my closing service after my prayers and meditation. Then I read the new song from CWH and a chapter in the Bible. I am in assisted living and I am very content with my life at 93 years old. Thank you for coming into my life some 6 years ago. We hope today's service on Daniel, a man of integrity, who served God as long as he lived, will be of comfort to you." Let's join Pastor Salem for his message titled, "Daniel, a Man Who Finished Well." God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so happy to be able to be with you today. We thank you for opening your homes for us so we can come be together. And we're going to study about Daniel, and it's a thrilling story. There's the lion's den, but there's a lot more to Daniel than that lion's den. So I just hope that you'll just all join us and we'll all worship God around the throne of grace. So we're looking at Psalm 56 in the opening verses where the psalmist writes, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a wonderful refuge and we don't have to fear what any man can do unto us. And oh God, in some parts of the world today, our brothers and sisters are having their flesh, they're giving their life for you, but they never fear. They know that they'll be in your presence and you'll take care of that precious eternal soul of theirs. So we thank you that wherever we are and whoever we are, we can always come to the dear Lord Jesus and find in him a refuge. Bless us as we have our service today and honor your name in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And Melissa's going to begin today and she's got a song entitled, "Set Me Free." So God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Set me free from fear, Lord. Break these chains, I pray. Help me conquer all the pain I struggle with every day. Time and time I fall. When I don't seek thy face, then the fear comes rushing in till I'm searching for escape. Please forgive me when I start to worry and let the fear down deep inside. If I is all I need to set me free. Teach me how to reach for you when life makes me cry. I can't do it on my own. Alone can lift me high. Please forgive me when I start to worry and I let the fear down deep inside. If I fail to trust your glory, then help me realize faith is all I need to set me free. Sometimes you answer yes, sometimes you answer no, but always for my good. Please forgive me when I start to worry and I let the fear down deep inside. If I fail to trust your faith is all I need to set me free. Help me realize faith is all I need to set me free.
Well, thank you, Melissa, and that is exactly right. Faith will set us free. And you know, there are times that I know I get to worrying and wondering about something and just getting it out of my mind. And that's because I don't have faith. I don't have my faith in Jesus. And the minute I go to Jesus and I tell him, dear Lord, I need your help. And I ask you to forgive me for my sins and just help me. And then just give it to Jesus and it'll set you free and you never need to worry. Well, we're going to look at some letters here. First of all, if you have your Bibles, eventually we're going to get to Daniel chapter 6. You can follow along, but I want to share some of these letters. And you know, one of the problems that I have is what letters to share. Because if I share too many, then I won't have time for my sermon. And Lord forbid, I know that would disappoint you so much that I'm just really limit those letters so I don't disappoint you. But here's some that we want to share today. The first one is Phoenix, Arizona. And they say, your service is so much comfort to me, keeping me in the Word and encourage me to hang in there. You help me in my faith. Life can feel very empty when so many things go wrong. Keep up the good work of spreading the gospel in your plain folk manner. You make it real. Thank you and your staff for your Christian ministry. And so here's people, and this dear person is getting help and comfort and strength in your faith. And you know how we do that, how we help her? Preach the Bible. We look at what God has to say. That's where the power is. And when you put your faith in the Word of God and you believe God and everything He said, it'll give you comfort and strength and make you so that you don't fear anything, not a thing. Daniel was cast into the lion's den and he said, bring him on. He had a faith that you just couldn't beat him. Well, here's Minot, North Dakota, up north of us here. And they write, we have listened to your broadcast off and on for over the last 15 years. We have a very wonderful home church here in town, but when we've been unable to get to church on Sunday, snowed in, someone sick, or something like that, we have been blessed by your service, your singing and sermon. Church on TV, our children now in their 20s enjoy it too. Thanks for sharing and keeping on broadcasting. And then they say, it's not just the older folks watching. The younger ones rely on you too. And so, yes, we do. We get letters. Sometimes we get letters from the children, 8 years old, 9 years old, and they get some help and they write a little note, write a little letter. And so all of our sermons are sermons that the children can understand. And that if they can understand it, everybody can understand it. It's just like a man. He was selling cookies, and he didn't know, and he had ran a bakery, and he didn't know what level to put the cookies on, what shelf. And somebody said, why don't you put it down on the level of the children, then everybody can reach them. And that's what we preach. We put it down on a level where everybody can understand. Here's a letter from Cheyenne, Wyoming. And they say, You have been a guiding star with all your wonderful, meaningful, and uplifting services. I have been watching your services for many years. I haven't been able to attend church, so you are my godsend. I am one of those lonely ones that you can make smile. I'm so thankful for you and your added stories with your sermons. Keep on keeping on. From one country kid to another kid, thank you, Brother Salem. And then listen to how she closes. Listen to this. You are a light in a world that doesn't want God. How do you like that? She hit the nail on the head. Jesus talked about that. He says in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. And he tells us why. Because their deeds are evil. And when people sin, they want to get away from God, like Adam and Eve. Get away from God. But when you sin, come to Jesus. And he'll wash away those sins. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So don't hide from God. But the world, the culture we're in, doesn't want anything to do with God. They're banishing him from everything. And they're going to find that a Christless eternity is a horrible place. Hell is a horrible place. Jesus warned us over and over, don't go that route. Well, let's see. Here's Facebook comment. Thank you so much for your Christian love and support. You made my mother cry with joy. It has given me such a gift to see people care and take the time to respond. It means the world to me. Forever grateful. God bless your whole ministry. And here's somebody, they think that they're alone, and they need to realize that Jesus is always with his people. He said he'd never leave them or forsake them. He said that underneath are the everlasting arms, and he is always there if you just turn to Jesus, lean on Jesus. Here's Lakeside, Montana. And this person writes and says, I'm grateful for your teaching me how to ask Jesus into my life. I realize you weren't talking to me alone, but the way you put it, it made it seem very personal. So thanks again. I now talk to Jesus every day, and he is my personal health counselor. And I include our Father God as he provides the divine guidance, giving me the peace of mind and reassurance that he is always with me. Accepting Jesus, accepting Jesus. And you know, that's what we do. We pound that over and over and over. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Don't make it difficult and don't make it hard. There are some people, oh, you have to do this and you have to do that. And then I go, oh, what a thousand other things. I was 10 years old, and all I knew is I was a sinner, and Jesus was my Savior, and I prayed in my childlike way. I just asked Jesus to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I was born again. I didn't know I was born again. I didn't know I was baptized by the Holy Spirit. I didn't know I was adopted into the family of God. I didn't know any of that. I just knew that I was taking God at his word. I didn't have a lot. I didn't have goose pimples, and I didn't jump and shout. Some people just get thrilled to death when they accept Jesus, and others, it's just like a covenant. God says, if you do this, I'll do that. And he says, if you accept me, I'll take away your sins and put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you may feel joy and happiness and shouting, or you may just feel, oh, thank God. I made that decision. It's a covenant with God. Well, Omaha, Nebraska. This lady doesn't give an address, but she did give her name. And I want to read this letter because I wish I could write to her. And I'm praying to God that she's watching us. Now listen to this. She says, hopefully by the time you read my letter, I'll no longer be on this horrible earth. I have lost all my faith, hope, and will to live. God has forsaken me. The past 2 months especially have been hell on earth, but still I persevere and pray and beg God for mercy on me every day. And every day I wake up, it's a slap in the face. a new crisis every day that doesn't end, only gets worse. If in fact you decide to pray for me, pray for a quick and painless death. I wish she would have given her name. I would have called her, because when we get a suicide letters, we call these people personally and tell them about their salvation in Jesus. I can't figure, I'm not a psychologist or something like that, could figure out all these things, but I know one thing. I know if you come to Jesus, he'll take your burdens away. If you come to Jesus and ask him to forgive you, he'll make you his child. He'll never turn you away. And that doesn't mean you won't have troubles and trials in this life, because we're all going to have them. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But it says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so he can help us to live for the Lord. Daniel lived for the Lord in the lion's den and had a good time while he was at it. And Job, look at what he went through. And look at St. Paul. He had a thorn in the flesh, and he asked God to take it away. And God says, no, I'm not going to remove it, St. Paul. I'm not going to remove it, Paul. So don't ask me anymore. I'm not going to remove that thorn. We don't know what it was. And so Paul, what did Paul say? Oh, I'm going to take my life. I'm all done. Now God doesn't love me. He says, I glory in that thorn. I'm glad I can carry it for Christ's sake. Keeps me humble, makes me stronger. And so this, dear lady, just remember this. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I don't care who you are or what you've done. He doesn't want you to lose your soul. He wants you to come to him and ask him to come into your heart, and you can be born again, and you can be his child, and you can have that full assurance. And we're told also in Hebrews, wherefore he is able to save them unto the uttermost that come unto God by him, Jesus, seeing that he ever maketh intercession for them that call upon him. And so what Jesus is saying here, he will save us to the uttermost of sin. It doesn't matter how much sin it has been. It doesn't make a bit of difference. The uttermost of sin and the uttermost of time, he saves you forever. Oh, what a glorious Savior. And so I just pray that you'll ask Jesus to come into your heart. Do it right now. Just say, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. And I just thank you for saving me, and I'll make you the Lord of my life. You just do that. And then you get out the Bible, you read the Gospel of John, start with the Gospel of John, and you write to us. I'm going to give the address in just a minute here. And then you write to us, we'll send you literature and even call you and talk to you. God bless you, dear friend. Let me see. Here's one from Plymouth, Minnesota. I want to thank you for the many hours of work you all put in order to feed so many around the world. You know, I think of it as a funnel. As all of us work together and through the grace of God, we end up with a tornado spreading the word of God as it should be. And you know, they got a point there. You just one by one by one by one, and we all get together like it's a tornado all over the world. And all over the world, we have people coming to Jesus one by one, banding together. One more letter, and I had to use this. Winter, South Dakota. And I have to do that because that's where my dear wife, Beulah, graduated from Winter High School. And when I graduated, you know, when I had a little trouble along those lines. I didn't graduate, wasn't top of the class. My brother, he graduated magna cum laude. When I graduated, it said, Laudy, how come? Well, she was right to the top of the class, and was with me 59 and a half years. Now she's with the Lord. God bless her. Her name was Beulah, wonderful lady. Helped me in the ministry all those years. Wonderful mother, wonderful wife. And so this person writes and said, thank you very much for being a dedicated disciple. You have helped save my life with your true Bible knowledge. And what this person is saying, I think it was a gentleman, I can't remember for sure. You helped save my life with your true Bible knowledge. And what he's saying is, you saved my soul because you told me the Word of God. Doesn't mean I know a lot about the Bible. It just knows that I know that the basic is that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved, and you can come, and you should come. And so I hope that you'll do that. And if you get your pencil and paper, I'm going to give you the address. It's the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send a gift, I hope you do want to send a gift. Just ask God now, what should I do? Or should I support this? Is something this something you want, Lord? And if so, then ask him. And if he says, yes, so support it. You need to stand by. Ask him how much. And then you send it to the Christian Worship Hour. I'm giving it again, especially for those on shortwave, because you don't have a screen. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. If you want to send it a gift, you can send it from any part of the world. You can send it on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and we'll get it in American currency and we'll pay our bills. Can you beat that? And then something we have that's really nice and is called the New Song, and it's a monthly Bible study. And I know that you'll like it. And this month we're talking about following Jesus' footsteps, walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And there's scriptures to go along with that. And we have people that use it for Sunday school lessons. And we have use of it in nursing homes and different places. So you write to us. You got the number there. And those on shortwave, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. So now Jan is going to play. And and I'm going to pray. And she's going to play. And you're going to pay if the Lord lays it on your heart. And we'll carry on. For 38 years, we've done it this way. And we're going to do it as long as the Lord wants it done. So, dear Lord, we just put everything into your hands. And if you want it to continue, then I know you'll talk to your people. Thank you for everyone supports this work and helps us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. We really appreciate that. I tell you, if I could play like that, I wouldn't preach another sermon. I just play and play and play. But I can't, so I'll preach such as it is. But we're going to look at Daniel chapter 6 today, and then we're going to have a prayer. And in our prayer, you know, every month, every week, we pray for our brothers and sisters in the that are suffering somewhere in the world. And we're going to pray for those in Syria. And oh my God, how they've suffered in Syria. And there's been that civil war. There's been that battling now, fighting. And it's sad. And Christians, we just pray for the Christians in Syria. Everybody pray for them this week. But Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, verse 6, starting with verse 16, Daniel is going to be put into the den of lions. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually, is he able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. Forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad, and he commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. It was God that did it. Oh, my God, when you think, read that, doesn't it thrill your soul? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you're such a great God. You can send your angels and keep the mouths of the lions shut. Lions that have been starved, they've starved them so that they would rip to pieces, tear to pieces anybody cast in there. And they couldn't so much as scratch Daniel's back. He couldn't do a thing. It was just, God, you have all power and might, and yet sometimes you don't deliver. St. Peter was delivered from prison, and then at the last he wasn't delivered, and he was put to death. And so we just pray for your will to be done, and that we might be acceptable of your kingdom and of your will and of your plans. But we know you're capable and able. But most of all, we know you're able to save our precious soul from hell. And for that, we give you thanks. And all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved, and so that you don't pass anybody by. Lord, we want to pray for our brothers in the persecuted church today in Syria, and all fleeing for their lives and scattered all over the earth. And but worse than that, lives taken, children abused, women abused. Oh, God, you just let, that's just the working of sin. And if man wants to sin and refuse God, then they pay the price. May they turn to God, to you, Lord, and for deliverance. And so just bless those people and help them to know that you'll take them safely home. And while the enemy may harm and destroy that body, he cannot so much as touch that precious eternal soul. It's safe in the keeping of Jesus. So help us in this service today now as we look toward Daniel, that we'll draw lessons that will help us to live the Christian life. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now before the message, Barb is going to sing, I Call It Home. And so God bless you, Barb.
Somewhere beyond the grave, there's a land where Jesus went to prepare by his own hand, and for the sake by grace, there is a resting place, and in a few more days, it will be mine. Some call it that you can't go back home again, and things will not ever be as good as they've been. Well, I've got good news for you. When heaven comes in to view you, one glimpse and you'll know the best is to come. Some call it call it pain. somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven. I call it home. Some call it paradise. Somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven.
Thank you, Barb. Every time you sing about heaven, I just want to get there. And we're going to get there, but we have to do our work first. We're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. And you're on a bed of sickness, and you can't get out of bed. You're in a wheelchair, and you say, well, what's my purpose? Well, your purpose is to shine for Jesus wherever you're planted. Tell others about the Savior. Pray for others. Pray for this ministry. But just stay with, lean on Jesus. There's a purpose for you being here. And we're going to look at Daniel today. And look how God used him. And he used him in old age too. And this man, Daniel, is some Bible scholars say that he's the most influential man in the Old Testament. And especially for young men. He's a great example for young men. His name means God is my judge. And true to his name, Daniel lived all his long life standing for God, before God as his righteous judge. He always had God in mind. We know nothing about Daniel's family or early life, but we know that he was one of the youths, one of the young men taken when Nebuchadnezzar overran Israel. This took place in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. So it was about 605 B.C., Not only did Nebuchadnezzar take the land, but he took the sacred silver and gold vessels from God's temple. And then he took young men so that he could train them so that they could be in his court and they could be be a part of their government personnel, because he wanted their point of view and their view. So it had to be the very best men. Each city had given up its finest men. And from Jerusalem came four such young men. Youth, they would be about 13 to 15 years of age. And their names were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. But when they got to Babylon, they renamed them. And they named them Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These all young men were without blemish. They were handsome. They were skillful in wisdom. They were endowed with knowledge. They had understanding science. They were competent young men. They were the cream of the crop. And that's what the king took. The young men, upon arriving in Babylon, were put under the watchful eye of a man named Ashpenaz. He was the chief master of the eunuchs. And the four young men, were to be there for 4 years. And then they would learn the language of the Chaldeans, and that would be about 3 years, and then maybe a little more. And then they would stand before the king himself. And the king would decide if what part they would play in the kingdom. They were also to have the food and drink that the same from the king's table. And there they had a problem, because the food that had been food offered to idols. And Daniel absolutely would not touch that. He would not take it. He would have no part of it. And so then he didn't want the wine and all. And so he begged this man who was the head of the eunuchs and told him, just let us have vegetables and water. Just let us do that. And he was given permission to do that. And so they lived. And so at the end of 3 years, the king found the four young men, and they were to be superior. And they were very beautiful young men. They were strong and they were wise. And the king could see that. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And in this dream, he saw a giant image that was destroyed and ground to powder. The king then dropped off to sleep. And in the morning, he couldn't remember what he dreamed. But it drove him crazy. He wanted that mean. He wanted to know. So he called in all of his wise men and all of the rest of them. And he told them, tell me what I dreamed and tell me what it meant. And the poor guys, there they stand. They didn't even know what he dreamed. How are they going to tell him what it meant? And so the king threatens to kill them all if they don't tell him what he dreamed and tell him what it meant. Then Daniel comes on the scene. And when Daniel hears that that is in the works, he knows he and his three companions are going to be included. And so they go right before the king and they say that we can help you on this matter. And the king grants him time to go to his house and go back and pray. And they all pray together. They give us the dream and the interpretation. And this is exactly what happened. God revealed it to them. And at the appointed time, Daniel interprets the king's dream. He and his companions are loaded with gifts and are given high positions in the service of the king. And then a little bit later, the king, another occasion, Daniel interprets a dream the king had of a great tree chopped down by an angel. And Daniel reveals to him by the power of God and gives God the credit that the king he's predicting the insanity of the king. And that came to pass exactly like Daniel said. And Daniel's third great appearance came when he was asked to explain the mysterious handwriting on the wall. You remember the story. Belshazzar is now the king. He's the new king. He has a magnificent palace. He throws a drunken party. That's all they knew to do, drink and have a drunken party. 1,000 drunken lords and ladies were there. They've been brought and they were drinking from the vessels, the silver and gold, precious dedicated vessels that came from the temple in Jerusalem, the temple of God. They're drinking their liquor and having their wine and having their high times. They'd been consecrated to God, and God had said to never to have strong drink and to appear from that, and that's exactly what they did. And then there was the writing on the wall, a mysterious writing, just the hand, nothing more but the hand. And it says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Perez. And the king is scared half to death. And then Daniel is called in, and promptly Daniel gives God the praise. And from God, he's going to tell him what the answer is, and he interprets the writings. Mene. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Now the king is there and the thousands of drunken people are all there. He says, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the scales and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And from this gift, this service, tough and hard as it was, Daniel was clothed with purple and a gold chain given him, and he was made third ruler in the kingdom. But Daniel's interpretation of that dream was exactly, of that writing was exactly right. And that same night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius of the Medes took the kingdom. Daniel was of such stature and influence and wisdom that Darius sees him and understands immediately that he's a great ruler. And he takes three men, and they rule most of the world. And it's divided into three sections. He has three rulers, and Daniel is picked to be one of them. And Darius even played in his mind a little bit of letting Daniel take it all. But he gave him 1/3 of the kingdom to rule. And thus it was that godly Daniel served under 3 and possible 4 different rulers, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and under King Cyrus, because Daniel was 90 years old in that area when he died. So look at his high position under Nebuchadnezzar. He was chief of the wise men. He was the king of the kings. He was made to rule. And for Darius, for made one of these presidents of the kingdom, he was even making him ruler of all. He was, because Daniel was faithful, Daniel was wise. God had a wisdom that God gave him that nobody else had. And Darius could see that. And under Darius the Mede, he aroused the jealousy of some of the other leaders of the kingdom. And they were wanting Darius to have them to the high position. And they got to do away with Daniel. And how can they get rid of him? They were determined they were going to bring him down, but how in the world could they ever do that? Daniel served the administration with such perfection, it was impossible to find something wrong with Daniel's judgment. They couldn't find something wrong, so they couldn't blackmail him. And so then they couldn't discredit him before the king because he had done no wrong. He was practically perfect. He wasn't a perfect man, but there was nothing they could find to bring him down. What are they going to do? And then they remember, Daniel. He every day goes to that room and he has that window wide open and he prays to his God. We'll get him on that. And so what did they do? They go to the king and they ask the king to sign a decree that anybody that looks to any other power except King Darius will be put in the den of lions, and the king signs it. And the decree is made. And then they tell him, Daniel is praying to another God. He's not praying to you. And Darius is sick to the stomach because he loves Daniel. And he sees how these jealous rulers have made a trap to catch this godly man. But Darius is helpless because it's known all over the world, not like in the United States, but all over the world is known that though that law can never be broken under any circumstance, no way, and Daniel going to be put in the den of lions. So Daniel's cast into the lion's den, but all the lions have lockjaw. The angel are right there watching over him, and Daniel probably kicks some old lion and says, lay down there, I want to lean against your stomach and get a decent, soft place to lay my head. He didn't worry about a thing, and Daniel's unhurt. He wasn't even touched, not one scratch. Three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace didn't even smell from the smoke. Daniel didn't have one single scratch. Those old lions, the angels were there. And so the next morning, the king comes to check, and he's overjoyed when Daniel's found safe and secure, and he has the wicked rulers cast into the same den or the den of lions. But this time it's different because the God of the Babylonians is powerless, but the God of Israel has the power, but not the God of the Babylonians, and they are taken to pieces in a minute. The last recorded vision of Daniel occurred in the banks of the Tigris River on the third year of Cyrus. Daniel is an old man now, probably well over 80, and some to think 90, maybe 90 years of old age. And so he comes, and he's one of the great giants of the whole past, and this he stayed loyal to the Lord, stayed loyal to the God, and he did it until his dying day. That's the story of Daniel. Now, what do we take from that? I put down several things. First of all, Daniel lived for God in a wicked world. As a youth of 13 to 14, 15 years of age, he was carried away from his family, from his friends, from his loved ones, from all the surroundings of Jerusalem. He was taken a captive to Babylon, a city that filled with idol worship, a city that was filled with immorality and drunkenness and full of pagans. There was wickedness and sin on every side. He was only a teenager, but he stood for God. He never wavered, never bent, never turned. He stood for God. And you young people, you could today, you have the same God that Daniel had. And when you face all of the temptations that are about you, and believe me, the devil hurls them all of the time, you can stand true just like Daniel because you have the same God. It reminds you of Joseph, doesn't it? Young Joseph, and how he was taken to Egypt, and the Egypt was corrupt as it could be. But Joseph lived for the Lord Jesus, lived for God, had the spirit of Christ before Christ was ever born. And so here you have Daniel and Joseph and many others, and they give us a lesson, and that is, it's possible to live for God in the midst of an ungodly environment. As a matter of fact, some of the world's greatest Christians have come from the harshest circumstances of life and from the toughest places in life, and the great hymns of the church are written out of those times of extremity and suffering and sorrow, but they stood true to God and their faith only got stronger. We must not excuse our sins today because of the wickedness of the day in which we live. They say everybody's doing it. Well, I got news for you, Buster. Everybody isn't doing it. You just tell me, let me tell you something. God expects every one of us, regardless of our age, to live a separated, godly life in the middle of a sinful age. And there may be sin on every side, but God expects us to live abstinence, to live for Christ, and to honor him in the midst of it. And it can be done because it has been done. Daniel was only a teenager, but he teaches us you can live for God anywhere if you want to. And then I put down, Daniel had a purpose in life. One of the very first things we read about Daniel is, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. From this youth, Daniel had, from his youth, he had a purpose. And that purpose was he was dedicated to God no matter what came his way. And that's the purpose. His purpose was to honor God in everything and live as long as he lived. And he lived to be at least 90 years old and a little more, maybe. We don't know. But he was true to God all the way. There are nothing marked down. Now, Daniel was a sinner, but there's not one thing marked against Daniel. Daniel was living what Jesus would teach centuries later when he came to the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. That ought to be the purpose and the goal of our life, is to seek first the kingdom of God, and the other things will take care of themselves. And then Daniel was a man of integrity. Daniel had four characteristics of integrity. For one thing, he had an excellent attitude. He never felt jealous of the others. When he was made, they had the three commissioners. He wasn't jealous of the other two. He never was complaining about that. He was true to God no matter what happened. He had the best attitude, a bright attitude. And then he was faithful in his work. There could find no ground of accusations to accuse him. The enemy wanted to get him down, but he had a life that was just spotless. And so he was faithful in his work for God. They couldn't find fault with him. And then by personal purity, the leaders and commissioners went beyond Daniel's public life. They investigated his private life, and they discovered no diligence or corruption in him. And then he had, fourthly, a constant walk with God, a consistent walk with God. That is where he regularly met God in prayer, and he did it openly. He wasn't a coward to admit it. And over he stood true to God. And this wonderful Lord Jesus, tells us to do the same. You stand up for me in school. It doesn't matter what the others think. You stand up for him. You stand up for him in business. You stand up for him in the gossip parties or wherever you are. Stand up for the Lord and let it be known. And so when this wonderful Daniel moves along, he comes and he prays. And is always praying. And so you and I ought to pray and be people of prayer and witness for God and trust him. Everyone knows the source of stability came because he was loyal to God. He was a man of prayer and a man of God. And then number four I put down, Daniel served God as long as he lived. He kept going for God as long as God gave him breath. And when Darius put him into power, he chose three men, and he was one of the commissioners. And this man, here is his entire, almost had the whole kingdom. And yet here he is, Daniel, at least 80 years old. He's standing up for God, and there is standing up at that age. There's no retirement for God's children. As old as he is, he's carrying the load, the full load of the king's court. Maybe served under four different rulers, at least three and maybe four. Never wavered, never gave up, never complained, never signed off. Listen to what God says about old age. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. And the fat and flourishing means that literally they will be fresh, fresh and flourishing. You know what? Old age has nothing to do with our effect on our soul. The body can get weak and the body can decay, but the soul can flourish. The soul can grow. The soul can become stronger. The soul can bear fruit for God. And that's what the Apostle Paul tells us. He says, for which cause we faint not, For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And Paul is saying our body is decaying and dying, yes, but the inner man is getting stronger. Physical life declines, the inner life only grows stronger and greater for God. And so when we slow down and say we have to settle down, well, we shouldn't do that. Maybe we have to slow up a little bit, but we can always serve God and have that soul become stronger in God. And we're not one day closer to the grave. We're one day closer to glory. That's where we're at. When you flat on your back, you can pray, you can witness, you can shine for Jesus, and don't be so crabby and snappy. I know it's hard, but shine for Jesus and let him show you in the heart you have the love of Christ. I got a letter from San Francisco. This is what this lady says. I'm flat in bed for 28 years with daily pain. 83 years old. My Lord is so faithful and good. His grace is sufficient. His love sustains me, and God allows it. He uses me to witness to many, either by phone to strangers across America, Europe, India, the Philippines. Many come to Jesus. She's calling all over the world from her sickbed. God bless her. She says you don't have to use your legs and your feet to spread the gospel. Jesus is coming soon. Glory to God. Bless you all. That's what he's saying, Paul is saying. He says in one place, you know, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That means when I press, it means like a hunter hunting for a deer, doing everything he can to find the prey. Press, just works as hard as he can. Work for Jesus as long as you have breath, as long as you can live. You know what? When they have the Indy 500 and they come to the final rounds, what do? Let up on the gas? They push the metal to the pedal to the metal, as the young people say, and they work harder. They drive harder in the last hour than they did the first hour. So look at Daniel at the close of death, 90 years old or so. He's in the court of Darius, and very possibly the king of Cyrus. And he's doing what in his old age? Serving Jesus, serving God till his dying day. And that's what you need to do, dear friends. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't serve him till you know him. You can't serve Jesus till you have him. You've got to have him in your heart. And you'll never have him in your heart until you ask him there. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, the door of your heart. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I want to come in, but I'll never open that door, and I'll just come in. So you have to say, in your own words, in your own way, just say, dear Jesus, something like that. I'm a sinner. He knows it. He wants you to confess it. I'm a sinner. And I know you died for my sins. I'm a sinner. Please come into my heart. Take away my sins. And then thank you, Jesus. Then you tell somebody. Tell your wife. Tell your husband. Tell your friends. I accepted Jesus. And I have the joy. I have the peace in my heart. You may not have a lot of feelings. Some people do and some people don't. But in my opinion, it's a contract. It's a covenant. It's a covenant like God made with David way back in the Old Testament. And he says, if you do this, David, I'll do this. And God is saying, if you accept me into your heart, I'll come into your heart and I'll give you eternal life. And so you can all pray that prayer and then thank him and serve him the best way you can. And if you do that, you write to us. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And I'm going to give you the box here, the address, and we'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to, you can get us on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send a gift. If you can send a gift, that's wonderful. St. James says, you have not because you ask not. If we never tell you we have a need, well, then you say, well, they must be all right. We got plenty of needs. And we're all over the world, and I tell you that it costs more than 25 cents to go all over the world. And we need everybody's help, whether it's 5 cents or $5 million. Well, we never got 5 million. Who knows? Maybe we'll get it. Maybe you'll send it today. I don't know. It doesn't matter. We'll get what God wants us to have, and that's all we want and no more. So you write to us. And then you say, I don't know if they'll spend it wisely. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books and they check every penny we take in and every penny we spend. And so it's safe. You don't need to worry. So I want to pray now. I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your people that have gathered together all over the world, Lord. We've been worshiping you. I wish I could see them. And God, I'm going to get to see them in heaven, in glory. I'm going to see them and talk to every last one of them. And won't that be something? And Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll bless each one. I pray for those who are having special troubles, lost their home, having a divorce. Maybe the children have gone wrong. Maybe the children taken in death, spouse. It could be 1,000 things. We need you, Lord. Every one of us needs you. We got to have you. And so, God, may multitudes make that prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. And then if we do that, we know we have eternal life. Never have to worry about a thing. So we ask you to do that in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now we're going to be thinking next week about another Bible character. We're going to think about Esther, shining star Esther. She's going to bless you as we look at her. And I just pray that all of you will pray for us. And if you can't send anything, you can pray for us. That's where the power is anyway. And pray, we do three things on the Christian Worship Hour. We want to honor God. We want to save the lost. We want to encourage the people of God. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. That's a command, and that's what we want to do. We want to let you know that we're thinking about you, praying for you, that God loves you. And not only God loves you, the Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we're on the air. That's why we're doing this. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.